Hello and welcome back to the Gaming Neighborhood. This is episode 256 of the Pixel Street Podcast, where each and every week me and John Hansen get together and talk about video juegos. John, how are you doing?
Doing all right. It's the last week has been kind of dull in the gaming space. I will say Akira Toriyama passing away. That was at the end of last week, I want to say.
Yeah, I think it was Friday night or Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say Friday. That kind of bummed me out. I'm a big Dragon Ball fan, and I don't know. I don't really get too attached to, like, celebrity deaths, but that one really bummed me out. I don't know. That was one that I was just like, the rest of the day, I was just like, that just sucks, man. I don't
know. Yeah. Yeah, it's... We're getting old, man, and it's really sad because it's like there was a whole TikTok thing going around where like people were like trolling their parents by being like, oh, my God, Mick Jagger dead at 76 or whatever, you know, just to see their reaction. And like now it's getting to a point where it's like people that we grew up idolizing and like enjoying their content and everything growing up, like they're getting old. And it's really sad to see some of these people pass on. But yeah, definitely really sad. I know a lot of people were affected by it emotionally, just from, you know, growing up watching it. Like, I watched Dragon Ball Z when I was a kid, but I never, like, I don't remember the story anymore. Like, it's been so long. I don't think I ever watched the whole thing.
It was probably my favorite show as a kid, I would say. Just, I was obsessed with it.
As many were.
And I mean, we see so many like references to it. Like, I'm also a big Sonic the Hedgehog fan. There's like the whole Super Sonic transformation is just straight up Super Saiyan.
Yeah,
that's all pretty much. I saw so many different like, I saw so many people like pointing out where Dragon Ball had been like referenced and other things. Like, I didn't even realize this, but the original design of Cloud in Final Fantasy VII is just straight up Super Saiyan Gohan from his fight with Cell. That's
basically what it is.
And I was like, I never noticed that before, and that is awesome.
Yeah, definitely a sad passing for sure, because there's the influence is endless, right? Like, it's literally everywhere.
Even outside of Dragon Ball, he was all about Dragon Quest. Of course, I love the Dragon Ball games. Dragon Ball Sparking Zero is like one of my most anticipated games.
Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Kakarot is an awesome game. I love that one. And I was a really big fan of the Legacy of Goku games on Game Boy Advance when I was a kid.
Yeah. Definitely sad, but time goes on.
Yep.
I don't know. How the fuck do we follow that? I don't know what to do. Like,
we don't.
It's just awkward. Why you had to bring it up right away. It's weird now. It's weird if I now tell people to go over to Twitch and watch me on Twitch, or go over to YouTube and subscribe to Pixel Street Videos YouTube channel. YouTube.
I would also Pixel Street Videos. I would also recommend not suggesting to follow the link in the description of this video to join our Discord community, where you can show us pictures of your dog and, like, just talk about gaming stuff. Maybe you could tell us about...
You could tell us your favorite Dragon Ball Z episode.
Yes. Yeah.
It would definitely be really weird if we just proceeded to plug content after talking about the death of somebody so icon. Anyway, this is episode 256 of the Pixel Street Podcast. We got some stuff to talk about this week, right? Last week, didn't really have much to talk about other than sad stuff. And yes, we did start with sad stuff at the beginning of this episode, but... That's not all it's going to be. It's not all sad, John.
At least this, the Toriyama stuff, like, we can think of a lot of good stuff because of him. Last week, it was just a lot of just bad stuff in general. But we have one thing that's, I don't know, it's kind of in between because it was a game that it's canceled, but...
Let's just get right into it, John.
Get into it.
A canceled multiplayer game titled Spider-Man: The Great Web trailer has leaked. I don't know how it was leaked. I don't know how it was leaked now and wasn't leaked with all the Insomniac stuff that came out a few months ago, but it has leaked. It was basically, I don't know if it was 3 or 4 player. I didn't really like watch this trailer too much. Five player? That's even more interesting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just a Spider-Man multiplayer game. It looks like you just ran around the city doing all the same shit you would do in single player, more or less. I'm sure there would be like some sort of raid thing where there's just like a huge building with a bunch of enemies in it that you'd have to take out with a boss at the end. It looks interesting. I think that I would love flying around, you know, webbing around the city with friends, but it doesn't look like something that would have like, it doesn't look like it would be like Destiny where I'm like, I'm playing Spider-Man, the Great Web, you know, 30 hours in the next 2 weeks. You know what I mean? It just looked like something that would be a fun addition to a Spider-Man game that we already have.
Yeah. So this, obviously there's a lot of, Spider-Verse,
references
and like, what's the real word I'm looking for? Inspiration coming from this. I guess very, very tiny spoiler, Spider-Man 2, there is one end of the cutscene where you hear a reference to the Spider-Verse. You don't really like see anything. It's just like one person that mentions a name from the newest movie and that's it.
Well, but the cutscene's like you look through the portal.
Yeah, you like look through the portal and the person on the other side like mentions a name and like it's not and really it's, a big
and,
thing.
And it's done in the Spider-Verse animation, which was really
cool. Yeah, that was cool. But very Spider-Verse inspired here. 5 players. There was Spider-Gwen, Silk was in there. But otherwise, it was a lot of like Spider-Man suits that are already in the game. Spider-Man 1 and 2. And I guess Miles Morales as well. So I think it was a very easy thing to just develop for. It was just pretty much add multiplayer to the world that you already have and just repurpose the skins you already have to make them their own characters. Which doesn't sound like too tough of a thing. But we are getting back into this realm that we were talking about with Naughty Dog and The Last of Us factions is... Insomniac is a developer that they pride themselves on their single player experiences. Like they're so good. They're one of my favorite developers ever. And I do wonder how much work would have gone into this if they would have gone forward with it. Because the way it looks, just straight off the bat from this trailer, this doesn't scream $70 game to me. This is not a full price game. But with the expectation of Spider-Man, which is now one of Sony's biggest franchises, I do feel like you have to deliver on something like that. I wouldn't see this being a free-to-play game whatsoever.
Could you see this as being like a $10 DLC to Spider-Man 2?
I think this was a standalone thing. I think it would have been its own release. My guess would be this would be a $40 its own game thing. Just because it is fully multiplayer. This does look like a game that would be online only. Like you mentioned, there was probably some like raids in there. The big thing I've seen about it is just you're fighting different versions of the Sinister Six, which were coming through the Spider-Verse portals.
Yeah, that can be cool.
That does sound cool. I do wonder, though, how different are they? Because in every one of the Spider-Man games so far by Insomniac, we've already been fighting the Sinister Six. Although a lot of them are, I guess, another small spoiler, but it's kind of like shouted out in Spider-Man 2. Some of the Sinister Six members are dead. And it's just, we'll have to bring in new versions for them to fight if we're going to fight them again. I don't know if I want to fight them again, though. Like, how many...
John, seriously, question. Have you heard anything about the end of Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League?
Yeah. And it's dumb.
You heard about how you're basically traveling to different worlds and killing the same boss
The same version of Brainiac. It's
the same version of Brainiac, like eight times. I think it's 12 or 13 total. But he takes the skill set of some of the Justice League each time, and you fight him. I have a feeling that this game would feel exactly like the ending to that game, where you're just constantly fighting the same Sinister Six guys over and over, just in different like skins with slightly different modifications on what their moveset is. I just have a feeling it would feel very samey to that. But that being said, I would love to fly around New York City with four of my friends.
That's why when Spider-Man 1 finished and we got the tease that Miles Morales was also a Spider-Man now.
Yeah.
Back then, I was like, oh, they'll probably work in like some kind of co-op mode for Spider-Man 2.
How perfect would that have been? Even like, if they retroactively went back now to Spider-Man 2 and was like, hey, we're adding co-op capabilities. You and your friend can go play through the whole campaign. I think that would solve this multiplayer thing, right? I don't think that they would have had a need to make a whole separate multiverses style multiplayer game if they just did that.
I really don't want to see Insomniac make a live service Spider-Man game. I did see some people online that were very disappointed in this news, but I also feel like you're going to be disappointed with any Spider-Man thing that is canceled. This kind of project really makes me not worried. I don't think it would like put Insomniac under if they failed or anything. They're just too valuable of a company. But I do think it would cause some bad blood for the Spider-Man name in general that Insomniac and Sony have been making the last 7 years. Holy crap. Or 6 years, I guess. So it's just I'm kind of okay with this project being canceled. It's a cool thing to see. The trailer is cool. It kind of looks like a mod, honestly. Like a fan-made mod.
I mean, all this being said, I would love for them to add just two-player co-op to either the next Spider-Man game or the current Spider-Man game. It doesn't even have to be like, I don't know, maybe it has... Maybe you have to beat the whole game before you can go back and do that because it'll make everything way easier. I don't know. But either way, it'd be a ton of fun to play. And I feel like they probably canceled this because they were looking at it and like, well, if this game comes out, you know, whatever percentage of Insomniac is going to have to work on only this game for like the foreseeable future because it's going to be a live service type game, multiplayer game. We need people working on it constantly in order to keep sales up, in order to generate revenue. And they probably looked at that and were like, do we really want to like delay whatever the next Spider-Man game is because of this? And the answer was probably no.
We're really seeing Sony back off of their dedication to live service games recently, which, say what you want about like Helldivers 2 being great and everything, I think this is probably a much better move. Maybe we didn't need like The Last of Us factions did not need to be as bloated and as big of a project as it was. Like that just didn't need to happen.
They were making that sound like it was going to be like an MMO.
A big thing. Yeah, it did not need to be that. And it could have come out and just been a smaller thing. But the problem, a big problem in the gaming industry right now is everyone's trying to make the next big thing. Kind of like in movies right now. Like, I don't need a $200 million project to enjoy Spider-Man. Like that price can be a little lower.
Yeah, I think that they're on the right track with something like this. Like you said, this would have been probably a smaller $40 game, and that's very similar to what Helldivers did, and it's been very, very successful. So like, they're on the right track. It's just like, I don't know that people want something like this from Insomniac given their track record of their previous games.
But I would, much like you said, like we would need this percentage of Insomniac workers focus on this game. I would much rather have those people focusing on games like Wolverine, the next Ratchet and Clank, Spider-Man 3, whatever X-Men game comes after Wolverine. Like, there's so many other things I would rather see Insomniac work on.
Yeah, and to be fair, Sony now probably has the ability to look at resources that were used on The Last of Us Online and say, oh shit, they worked on that too long and that delayed whatever the next thing is from, you know, Naughty Dog by this much. We don't want that to happen with this. So they probably just canceled it right then and there.
Yeah.
All right, John. take us through the next main topic.
All right. So Sean Layden has come out and he's kind of been talking about the exclusivity conversation, which is a little late now because we were talking about this like weeks ago with the whole Microsoft or Xbox bringing Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush to PlayStation and other games to Switch as well. But he's kind of come out and said that the exclusives are an Achilles heel with the constantly rising game costs. Here's a quote from him. Particularly when you're in the world of live service gaming or free to play, another platform is just another way of opening the funnel, getting more people in. In a free to play world, as we know, 95% of those people will never spend a nickel. The business is all about conversion. You have to improve your odds by cracking the funnel open. Helldivers 2 has shown that for PlayStation, coming out on PC at the same time, again, gets that funnel wider. You get more people in. So pretty much it's a really bad kind of mindset that people in the video game business have right now, that they're following mobile game development, where they're not going to make a great game for you. They're not trying to make a live service game that everyone will spend money on. They're trying to do that shitty thing where they try and manipulate that 5% of people that are going to spend a lot of money. The whales, as the mobile gaming community would call them. People that would drop $1,000 a year on stupid mobile games for like loot boxes, stuff like that. And that's the dangerous way to kind of... You can't really grow a community well in that kind of thinking. He did also mention that Spider-Man 2... Or maybe it wasn't him, but I saw a mention in the same article that I was reading this from that Spider-Man 2 was originally supposed to be a $170 million budget game. It went over the $200 million, and then it needed like 7 million copies sold just to break even. And while it's done that, that's just a very dangerous...
That's a gamble.
That's a very dangerous way to handle your games. So with these games just becoming more and more expensive... It's really hard for me to see a future where we keep going with the exclusivity stuff. I've talked in the past where I think exclusives don't really make sense anymore. They used to sell consoles. They don't really do that anymore. You're more going for the brand and stuff and where your friends play.
Unless you're Nintendo.
I guess. Yeah. But kind of even then, like, I grew up with Nintendo. I just know the brand. If they released The Legend of Zelda on PlayStation or Xbox, I don't know. I would definitely consider playing them over there. I don't know. But, game prices need to come down. The game development prices. We need to stop trying to make that giant, epic thing right now. Everything's too expensive at the moment. And it's making things a gamble. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League is the latest example of that. Skull and Bones as well. Like, these games didn't need to be as big as they are. One, because you need people to buy into them first, but then you need people to like actually invest into them long term. Both of those games, I don't see many people doing that at all. That's why both of them are kind of looked at as a failure right now, because they're not gripping enough for a community to become attached to them and support that game long-term. Not something like Fortnite, Overwatch, League of Legends. Like, these games that have been successful for so long, they have such a stranglehold on their genre that there's not enough room for all these giant games to come out and just demand millions and millions of people's attention. There's too many things to play.
Yeah, and I see you have in here, do you think Sony might be considering more PC launches? And I think the answer is absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that for any of their announced or unannounced multiplayer games, live service games, right, that they have been, you know, talking about on and off the past few years at this point, I think 100% those games should now be, after Helldivers' success, should now be expected to come to PC and PlayStation, if not day and date, very, very close, like within a month.
I would say, though, that we know that so The Last of Us, Spider-Man, and Twisted Metal all had live service multiplayer games that were canceled recently. The only one I know that is still being made is the Horizon multiplayer game.
No, there's also Marathon.
That one's always, Bungie. We always knew that one's coming everywhere, though. That's like even coming to Xbox.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I'm talking about like the ones that we like expect to be
exclusive
PlayStation only traditionally.
Gotcha.
A Horizon multiplayer game
sounds fun.
maybe, hopefully. I do wonder if they would do that day and date on PC and PlayStation.
I mean, I don't. Horizon games are on PC now.
Yeah, but that came like a year after it released, and for a multiplayer game like you were saying, you need that, you need more people to play that game to support it. Helldivers came out on PlayStation and PC. I don't think, was that actually made by PlayStation? I think they just published it, right?
I forget, hold on,
because
I think they just published it, but they probably funded the studio to make it.
I'm not seeing anything about a publisher. I'm just seeing
the developer is Arrowhead Game Studio.
Yeah, hold on. Oh, don't Steam. I don't. Yes.
Yeah, So PlayStation published it because this dev studio also made Magicka, Gauntlet in 2014, mm-hmm. The Showdown.
I'm looking at. Even on the Steam page, it says publisher, PlayStation, PC. So they published it. It makes a lot of sense for me that they would look at the success of Helldivers and be like, okay, we need these games on PC as well to support them. Maybe they don't do that for their single-player games yet. I do think at some point down the road, though, they have to make that change.
Well, the thing that's very specific to multiplayer games is if even if the game's good, if it's only on one console, like, it'll die off, probably. Chances are it's going to die off fairly quick because you don't have the player base. Whereas, like, with Helldivers, the player base was so massive because it was out on both. It was only a $40 game, which definitely helped it a lot, right? I guarantee you there's a large percentage of people who bought that game at launch that probably would not have bought it if it was $70. So yeah, the player base is everything for a multiplayer game. We saw it with Halo, right? Halo came out. It was not very great. The player base fell off, and they've been slowly working on the game. And now it's a great game. Like, I'll say that's a great multiplayer game. But it just like left such a bad taste in people's mouth at launch to where many of those people probably never came back. Or like me, have come back, but then just, you know, I'll come back and I'll play it for like a month, and then I'll stop playing it for, you know, 1 to 3 months after that. And it's all back to that bad taste. Whereas like if they had all the content in that game at launch that they have now, like who knows how successful that game would have been. Who knows how much that could have changed, you know, 343's, you know, whatever they're working on. But yeah, it's heavily dependent on player base for these multiplayer games.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's a no-brainer for them to, at least for the multiplayer games, to release day and date on PC and PlayStation.
Yeah. I am interested to see it. Probably, I don't see it happening with this particular game, but there was that petition for people asking, like even like Sony fans
for
like
Xbox, saying,
like, bring the game to Xbox. I think it's
that was kind of a meme. I think that was kind of a meme too, because it was like, it was like the whole spreading democracy thing. We were losing the fight. They're like, we need more people. Please release this game on Xbox so we can get more soldiers out there.
That would be hilarious.
If that's what did it. The meme.
Remember when like Rocket League accidentally turned on crossplay? Yeah.
That was awesome.
and then they
dude,
were
that's
like,
why,
oh,
John, if you think accident. About it, that is why. I mean, I can't say that we wouldn't have crossplay like we do today, because we probably would eventually. But like that definitely jump started the crossplay movement.
Fortnite and Rocket League definitely, they definitely like pushed that to go faster. If we can get things like Helldivers to push Sony to agree to that more, we could see less of an emphasis on exclusive games.
Highly unlikely. Unlikely
right now.
We can hope.
I do think it happens at some point, though. Yes.
You know what the solution would be, John? Is if Microsoft somehow, and I've been saying this for years, like in the back of my head, they've said time and time again that the Xbox is basically a PC that runs off of a version of Windows specific to Xbox. Mm-hmm. Why can't they just make it so that I can just fucking download Steam games onto my Xbox, John? You know how easy that would solve everything? Just make it basically a PC. You can like block all like the PCS, PC shit so that I can't go access all my drivers and stuff. But still, just like let me download Steam games. I could be playing Helldivers 2 on my Xbox that way. I doubt that'll ever happen, but a man can dream, John. Maybe. Man can dream.
Keep dreaming.
Let's go into the quick news, John. Here's something that I never dreamed of, but I'm glad it's here. Sea of Stars is getting a 3-player co-op mode. That's pretty exciting. I never beat it. I'm still kind of slowly making my way through it, but Final Fantasy came out and has been taking my time, but I could see multiplayer co-op being cool.
I do wonder how that would work, though, because it's just turn-based. I don't know how fun that would be. I do think that's a only local multiplayer thing. I highly doubt that they bring in a online
component. Yeah, because it's also like, who controls the part? Like, am I just sitting there watching you because you're the host, like, choose mm-hmm. where we go and everything?
Yeah. Like, am I just going to sit around and just press A every now and then to attack, and that's all I do?
I don't know. If it is online, John, we got to try it.
Oh, I'll be down for that, but I doubt that it will happen.
Helldivers 2 added flying bugs, but they have denied the fact that they added these bugs. I love everything the marketing team for this game is doing.
Yeah, everything. They just like straight up be like, don't believe the flying bugs. Bugs don't fly.
Yeah.
They're like just straight up gaslighting us.
Yeah. And like this goes back last week. We were talking about how there's like a, I forget what his name, like Game Master. And he's just like dropping shit into the game on people's games. Like he was doing it with the mechs before they were even announced officially. And then after we recorded last week, I think it was the next day, they tweeted, they're like, hey, new objective. We got to liberate. I forget what the planet name was. We got to liberate this planet because that's where we're manufacturing all the mechs. And if the robots take it, we aren't going to get mechs for quite a while. So fucking everybody was playing. Everybody was playing to liberate this kind of... I got on during my lunch break, John, so I can help liberate this fucking planet. And we did it. Mechs are now in the game.
Arrowhead Studios, I think that's their name, right? Arrowhead Games. Yeah. They have like handled like the messaging around Helldivers 2 so perfectly.
The thing is, John, I feel like it wasn't planned. I feel like it was not this well thought. I think that the success of the game and them seeing how many memes are coming out about it, them seeing how many people are playing the game, I think that has just kind of triggered them to be like, oh shit, we got to add the next thing because it's a live service game. Everybody's talking about it. Got to keep people playing it. Got to keep people buying it. And they're like, fuck it. We'll release the mechs. How are we going to release the mechs? He's like, we're going to test it by dropping it into random people's games and see what happens.
It's
just so all cool. Over. It's great.
I'm very happy to see the success that they're having right now. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is. And like, you got to imagine that they're going to greenlight a Helldivers 3, right? Game starts dying down, whenever all the DLC's done, they got to be doing it. They got to be working on it. Moving on, Mario Brothers Movie 2 is coming in 2026. Are you surprised, John?
Oh, no, I'm not. But they announced it on Mario Day, which was this Sunday, alongside some other stuff. They gave like release dates for Luigi's Mansion 2 HD and Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. And then... I think there was one more bit of news, but I can't remember it right now off the top of my head.
But go ahead and talk about this next one while I bring up the pictures.
Okay, so we also got concept art from the first Mario movie, and I love seeing stuff like this. It's just concept art, so this is like way before like actual production on the movie started happening. But originally, there were plans for Daisy and Birdo to be in this game. There's like a sequence where it like shows Bowser crying because he was like offering Peach flowers in like a high school setting.
Yeah.
And she turned him down. Like, I love this.
I also love that the van says Luigi Bros.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't Mario Brothers originally. The plumbing company was called Luigi Brothers. There's like also a bunch of there was like one picture of, I couldn't tell who it was, maybe it was Luigi, but like trimming up his mustache or something. I couldn't tell what that was about, but yeah, some really cool images. I love seeing stuff like this. There's like a battle sequence where Daisy is like riding a Wriggler into battle. So many cool things in there. And then also the guy that posted it like does a lot of his own art where he like takes the characters and removes their mustaches. But really cool concept art. I love seeing concept art. Like, I want more movies and games and stuff to just like be outright with it and just like show us it. It's so cool.
Yeah. Starbreeze CEO has been fired following the Payday 3's failure. I don't think that this is very surprising, but I also think he did probably what was being told of him, which was make Payday 2 again. And that's more or less what he did.
I don't know. Was he being told that? Because he's kind of the top of the
line, or he was the one to, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, shareholders, John. You gotta please the shareholders.
Yeah. For whatever reason, Payday 3, not one of the worst games ever, not by a long shot. It had so many problems at launch, though, and yeah. I think it still only has like 1,000 people that play it regularly, where Payday 2 gets like, I think, like 80,000 concurrent players or something. Like, a lot of people still play it. I don't know, it's, I think it will turn it around at some point, but yeah, it had a terrible start, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely not surprising news to hear.
No.
The Fallout series was told to avoid a certain storyline that'll happen in Fallout 5. John, I'm assuming you watched this trailer.
I didn't. I keep forgetting to watch it. I actually completely forgot that it was coming out soon.
Dude, it looks so fucking good.
Yeah.
It like legitimately, it's on Amazon, right? Looks good. Yeah, it's gonna be on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I gotta get that again. I do want to watch it.
I'll hook you up,
my boy. I do love the. I just love the idea that Todd Howard like straight up told these people, he's like, "Hey, Fallout 5 is not coming until at least like 2032."
Yeah, yeah.
Don't do this.
Exactly. That's like, I love the forwardness. He's like, hey, we already know what we're doing for this game. Just don't touch any of this. That way, we're not stepping on toes with each other.
Yeah.
Or that way, we come out with something that's very similar to what you already came out with, and then your shit's not canon anymore.
Mm-hmm. I do like that. Because we know they're working on Starfield expansion, DLC. And then we have Elder Scrolls 6, which, who knows, maybe that'll come out in 2028. Fallout 5 is a long ways off still.
Yeah, yeah. But we're talking like one to two consoles ahead of right now, at least.
Yeah. It's going to be a very long time before that comes out. Yeah, I love that directness.
Yeah. John, guess what's back? Your favorite video game, Multiverses, is back. We didn't think we'd ever see the day. We didn't ever think we'd see the day when they just left. And here they are, back and recharged.
It was 2022 when they took it down. And they were like, okay, that's the end of our beta. We'll be back when it's time to launch. Almost 2 years later, they're like, hey, we're back. And like, so wait, the thing
when it was in their beta, Was it a free beta, or were people pay?
Well, you could play the game for free, but they had like deluxe editions that you had to spend $100 for, gotcha. And then they had microtransactions, so you didn't have to pay to play.
So dumb.
But
it's so dumb.
It made it a lot easier to unlock the other characters, because I think you only got like three for free, but the otherwise you had to grind a lot to get the other guys. It such a mess how they handled that, but.
The other thing is that they were radio silent for 2 years almost.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, we're back.
And then the video that they put out, like talking about like, hey, we're coming out in March or May. They didn't show anything new. They just showed all the old characters and like, they're like, okay, yeah, there's some, like we changed the backgrounds a little bit, but like they didn't show any new characters, what new features there were, like what changed in all this time that you took the game away from us.
John, I am so excited for this game to come out and for people just to show a before and after comparison video for stuff, because I have a feeling it's going to look very similar to how it looked when it left.
What? And just imagine if this comes out and there's no new characters.
Or no new characters, nothing looks new. It's like, oh, we added three stages to fight on.
It looks like it was pretty much a remaster, just like a graphical update. It's like, if that happens, that's insane.
That's wild. That would be wild.
Mm-hmm.
Activision Quality Assurance United is the largest video game union and the first to form under Microsoft. You'd love to see it. Yeah.
Love to see it.
Need especially because these QA guys are the ones that are like first to go, it seems. Mm-hmm. Right? Like they're low end of the totem pole,
so easy to replace them.
Yeah. It's you love to see it. Great Absolutely. Move. Great move.
More unions. Good job, guys.
John, any collectibles to show off?
Yeah. So this past weekend, there was a small con in a mall.
I saw.
So I've actually never been to an actual con, but this was like my first time like going, but like seeing all these stands up and down the hallway, and it really made me think like malls are like the perfect place to do this. Like they should do more of these. No one's going to malls these days anyway. Like just let a bunch of nerds go out there. Like I'm all for that. But I got three games. First I got MLB Slugfest 2004 for the GameCube.
Nice.
While yes, this one does have Jim Edmonds, who was with the Cardinals at the time. I just love the Slugfest games. I don't think I ever played this one. I played 2003, which was probably one of my favorite baseball games ever. So I saw this and I was like, okay, I'll buy it. And the guy was like, I was like, hey, how much for this? He's like, let me look it up. 45. I'm like, that's a bit much. He's like, got an offer? I'm like, 30? He's like, yeah. I'm like, cool. Hell yeah. I also got two Japanese games. I got Pokemon Red.
Nice. How much did you pay for that?
This and my other one were both $20. And Super Smash Brothers for the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, those Japanese versions of Pokemon sell for super cheap.
Yeah. It really makes you mad when you look at the prices that we can actually play with, the versions we can actually play in the US. But yeah, no, I these ones I straight up just bought these to be like collector's items. I already have Super Mario 64, the Japanese cartridge for it, the original one, not the Rumble Pack one, which I also saw there and I was tempted, but that would have been $60. And it was very tempting. I saw so many cool things there. That was really cool. Like I said, I've never been to a con before, and I wouldn't mind going again when I have money.
Yeah. I'm real excited to go to PAX next week just to see, like, all the merch and stuff people are selling. And, of course, I already have appointments to go see some games, so be on the lookout for our content.
You'll also have to, like, let me know if you see anything that you're like, oh, John would like this. And I'll be like, yeah, have some PayPal money, my boy.
Yeah, definitely will. I don't have any collectibles to show, but this past weekend, so I went to a LAN party. My friend had a LAN party. And it was an overnight party, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. We all played video games pretty much all night. We were playing games until like 5:30 in the morning. And then finally, like, my friend, he doesn't have anywhere for everybody to sleep. So I was like sleeping on the hardwood floor. I brought a pillow and blanket and I laid there for like an hour and I was like, I'm going to go home. And I just got up and I just left. I didn't say bye to anybody. I just got up, grabbed my pillow and blanket, walked out the door, and I came back later for my stuff. But yeah, we played a bunch of games. We played some Battlefront 2 on Xbox. We did System Link for that. It was a ton of fun. I played. Yeah, it comes out tonight or tomorrow. I pre-ordered it. Super excited.
Oh, it's this week? Oh, shit.
Yeah, it comes out tomorrow, 11 p.m. tonight. But yeah, we played that. I played Super Monkey Ball on GameCube. My friend was a huge fan, so he picked it up for his GameCube, and we played that. We played N64. We played Smash on GameCube and N64. Played some Rocket League, some Fortnite. It was a good time. Had a bunch of fun doing that. And then on Sunday, so of course, in typical my wife Elise fashion, I get home Saturday morning at like 7:15, right? And so I get home, super tired. Like, all right, I'm going to go to bed, you know, and like she knew about this LAN party going in. She knew it was going to be like a whole, like, I'm not going to want to do anything Saturday type deal, right? Because I just spent all night gaming with friends, staying up all night. In typical Elise fashion, I woke up at like 12:30 and she's like cleaning the whole fucking apartment. I literally woke up, walked to her, I was like, you realize you cannot be upset at me for not helping you clean anything today. She's like, yeah, I know. I'm like, all right. I just want to make this very, very clear that I, just because I'm sleeping all day, you knew that going into this, this is what was going to happen. So she like spring cleaned the whole apartment. And then Sunday I decided it was a good idea to take apart my whole TV entertainment center, which has like all my old consoles. And I didn't have a back to it, so you could just see through it and see all the wires. So I went to Home Depot, bought some particle board, used a saw, cut it up. And so I covered the whole back, drilled holes in it for the wires to go through. And I have an AV switch now. And I now have all of my retro consoles all hooked up to my TV via HDMI. Oh, nice. And it's very exciting. Like yesterday I set it up and really I was like, oh, like let's play NBA Jam. It was like $15 on Amazon. So cheap. Awesome. So yeah, it was like, there's a converter that goes to HDMI from like, you know, the red, white and yellow. And then I bought a switch that's like a 6-switch AV switch. So you just hit a button on it and it switches to a different console. So yeah, that's what I did this weekend. I'm so excited just to have it set. Like, I'm not going to play a retro console every day, but just whenever I do, just knowing it's all set up and all I got to do is put a game in and play it. Like, that's just reassuring, because the number of times I've wanted to play like NBA Jam or Rush 2 or like an old N64 game and just not been able to, because it's like, oh, I gotta set everything up, I gotta order the adapter online. So it's nice to have it all set up.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I even set up my 360 and PS3 just in case, you know.
I don't feel like the 360 one was needed.
All right, John, I don't want to hear it. It is needed, because that's how I play NBA 2K12. So the consoles I have are NES, N64, GameCube, Nintendo Wii, Nintendo Switch. These are all hooked up right now. I also have Sega Genesis, Sega Dreamcast, Xbox 360, PS3, PS1. I don't have a PS2. I want to get a PS2.
I have a PS2.
And yeah, that's it. That's everything I have set up there. It's very exciting.
So you mentioned NBA 2K12, and I played that game as well. It was very good. NBA 2K24, I think it is.
Just came out
on Game Pass. And I guess let's just jump into what we're playing. I barely played it. And I started up my career mode, made my player, and I was like, I hate this. This is so annoying. Like, I never really liked the NBA career modes because it always like makes your character.
It's corny.
It's very corny, and it makes them a very specific way. When I hear my character talk, I'm like, I would never say stuff like this.
Yeah,
this completely takes me out of it. This is not the John Hansen experience. I hate it. That's why I usually stick with franchise mode on there. But yeah, I played it for like a half in career mode, and I was like, I'm so tired of hearing these guys call me MP. I don't know why they called me MP. My guy's name is John Hansen. We've been having video games like be able to read your name and like say your name for years.
I mean, it's just it's because of like, oh, like the announcers are calling you MP.
Yeah.
I think that you can change that somewhere. I forget where, but I remember changing it, and they didn't have my name. It was just like The Rocket. You know how like MLB the Show.
Even that, that's so stupid. Like MLB the Show 06, I want to say, on the PS2. That game, I remember them like saying, of course, it doesn't sound natural. It's like
John Hansen.
Yeah, exactly like that. Like, it doesn't sound natural or anything, but it sounds a lot better than The Rocket. Like, that very much annoyed me.
So I downloaded last year's NBA when it hit Game Pass, and it was very much the same thing. I got super into it for like a week. But what frustrated me is, like, no matter how much time I put into it, it felt like my player was still just as bad as when I started. Like, It's like, you can shoot a layup, and it just, like, doesn't go in. It's like, what the fuck is going on here?
I also loved it. So, when I started my first game, it, like, gave me, like, goals to go for. And it was like, okay, you have to show you are the next big thing since LeBron James. And it, like, gives you, like, goals to go for. It's like, Michael Jordan, in his debut, had 38 points. This many rebounds, this many assists. LeBron James had 35 points. I'm like, these are 5-minute quarters, and I'm being taken out. Like,
exactly. It's 5-minute quarters. Game. You have no control of how much time you have playing, so they could pull you out for like a quarter and a half, and then you're just like, what the fuck?
Sucks.
Yeah, and you're so bad to where it's like, I scored 5 points in the first half, and they want me to score 38.
Yeah, no, the entire team scored 30 in the first half. Like, this game's gonna end up being like a 60-point total.
Yeah.
That was really annoying. I wouldn't mind starting up a franchise and giving that a try, but yeah, the career mode completely turned me off. I was like, I do not want to play this anymore.
Yeah, I remember I even tried getting into the whatever their ultimate team mode is in. It just, that game in particular feels so riddled with microtransactions, especially on the creative player side, because the creative player side of that game is probably one of the top two most popular game modes in that game, because people go on like the online courts and play against each other. And I think it's called VC in that game, right? Virtual currency. And that stuff, they sell it and people will just constantly buy it to upgrade their character, get new gear for their character, and it's just, it feels very pay to win in that sense.
When I worked at GameStop between, I think it was 2017 to 2019, well actually technically 2020, but that was probably the most bought DLC while I was working there. It was just VC, and I can only imagine how many people were just doing it straight from their console and not like going into a store to buy it.
Yeah, exactly. I would say, I was going to say, oh, I'll download it and play with you. But I mean, MLB The Show comes out at the end of the week, so that's all I'm going to be playing. I don't got any time for any of
the moment. The moment the show is out, I am dumping NBA. So let's not get that twisted.
I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It's really the only other thing I played outside of the LAN party stuff I already talked about. I just 100%ed Junon, which is like the second area of the game. And now I can advance the story. So every time I get to a new area, I'm just 100%ing everything I can do and then moving on. Because I'm a maniac.
How long is it taking you to do that?
I'm 15 hours into the game.
Okay. So
I'm on chapter four.
How many chapters and how many areas are there?
No idea. Not a clue.
I'm going to look it up. Do you want to know or should I keep it to myself?
How many areas in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth? There's 7 regions. I've done 2.
And there are 14 chapters in the main story.
So yeah, Joey, it's a big game.
You're gonna be playing this game for a while.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. To be fair though, like I've only put 14 hours in, and it's been 2 weeks, so it's like I haven't been able to play a lot. I would say, I mean, 14 hours isn't a little. Don't get me wrong, but like for a game this big, right? People have probably already 100%ed it in a week's time. So yeah, I'm excited to play more. What I did last night, which I found very effective, is I realized I'm not going to do story stuff. I'm just going to 100% this area. I just remote played on my Steam Deck while I was watching TV with Elise. Because like most of that side stuff doesn't really have much story to it. And if it does have some story, you don't really have to pay too much attention to it. So that's kind of the approach I'm taking from this point on, is just remote playing it on my Steam Deck to do the side stuff. Yeah, that's all I played.
Cool.
Tell me about Baldur's Gate 3. I saw you on Baldur's Gate 3, John, and I thought, I was like, should I just join his game? Is that possible? Can I just join your game when you're in the middle?
So I haven't had anyone join. I think you can before you get to the spot where I'm at now. So Baldur's Gate 3 game, then? I'm at the very end. I am in the final section of it.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
Before you start it says new players can't join you after this point.
Okay.
But I imagine if you were already in, it would have been fine.
Probably. Yeah. I would guess, yeah.
But I have been essentially only playing Baldur's Gate 3. I mentioned NBA 2K24. I played that for like maybe a half hour. Otherwise, the past week, it's just been Baldur's Gate, because I've been in Act 3 for 2 weeks now, I want to say, and I'm ready to be done. This game, I love it. I absolutely love it. I also hate it. I hate this game. Maybe it's just the Xbox version. I'm tired of the game crashing. I'm tired of hitting bugs. And there's just like so many like little annoyances in here that just like eat at me a little bit. Like there's rules like that are in Dungeons and Dragons that it just doesn't adhere to. It also does the thing that, well, it really reminds me how impossible it is to have the Dungeons and Dragons experience in a video game. Just for example, one of the spells, Polymorph, in the game, it's a spell that turns people into a sheep. So you can like pick them up, throw them, you can do anything. You pretty much can make an enemy completely harmless if you turn them into a sheep. In actual Dungeons and Dragons, you have a big list of animals you can turn them into. In a campaign I used to play, I took a big boss man. He failed a save against my polymorph spell. I turned him into a turtle and was just like carrying him around, and then I took over his colt. Like that kind of stuff is amazing. And there's moments, there's like conversations you can have with people that do stuff like that, that is just completely out of left field. But it's not whatever I want to do, I can do. Like I have the chance for it if I roll right, if the dice goes in my favor. That being said, it's a very great game. It's so good. I'm very much though ready to end. I also don't like that the level cap is set at level 12. In Dungeons and Dragons, the level cap is 20. That's max level. I hit level 12 a long time ago, and I didn't realize that 12 was the max level. When I realized that, like yesterday or the day before, I was like, wait. So I've just been doing all this for nothing. I've been getting no progression because there's so many like battles and stuff that you do in Act 3. Once you hit level 12, you're just like, you get more gear. I've gotten like really good weapons like doing these, but there's some missions that I've been working on for a very long time that doesn't really give me the right gear for the team I have. So I'll just be like, okay, I'll sell it. And I started looking at my mission list, and I was like, okay, I have like three big missions that I've been working on for a while. And there's a big section of the Baldur's Gate city that I haven't actually explored yet. So there's probably going to be more down there. And I started looking around, and I was like, okay, yeah, I found a couple more missions that normally I'd be like, yeah, I want to see what this goes through. But just knowing that I'm not really going to get much out of it. I've already got legendary weapons. I've already got all the armor. I'm kitted out with all these potions and stuff that I want. I was like, I'm just going to start the final fight because I don't want to waste my time anymore with this game. So yeah, I'm in the final fight right now. I did a first like gigantic battle where it was like my four people against like 23 enemies. It took so long that finally when I was done with it, I was like, okay, I'm gonna save here. I need a break. But I think I'm gonna try and push to like finish it today. Finish my first playthrough.
Nice.
So yeah, I'll hopefully be done with that. I 100% am down to do a co-op run. I know you and I talked with Adam about doing that when crossplay comes in because he's on PC, which I 100% am down for. It's just there's just so many like little annoyances. Like if I were reviewing this, I would still very much be like close to giving it a 10 out of 10. But there's like so many like crashes and like little bugs that just annoy me that I'm like, this is a 9 out of 10. But I do feel like that undersells how good of a game it really is. So yeah, I don't know. I can't really think of a game like this that I've loved and hated at the same time. There's so much good about it. But there's just also a lot of stuff where I'm like, it's not bad, but it's so annoying and not great.
Yeah, I'm excited to play it. Like I said, it's something I don't necessarily want to play alone. I think I'd have a lot more fun with it playing with other people. So that's kind of why I'm holding off until we get a co-op run going.
If you want to start your own run, I'll join you on that, and then when we get Adam in, we could do a different one. I don't know if you want to do that.
Yeah, maybe we could do that.
That's a lot to commit to, but you could have like your own save file. So if you do want to play on your own, you can, but I'll just join in.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. But yeah, that's going to do it for episode 256 of the Pixel Street Podcast. As always, thank you so much for watching or listening to the show. We truly appreciate you. As always, please follow us on Pixel Street videos on YouTube, youtube.com/pixelstreetvideos, twitter.com/ what the fuck are we? X on X
Pixel Street.
At Pixel Street. Check out the pinned tweet there where you can find a link to join our Discord server. Come say what's up. Tell us what you're playing. Tell us what you need help doing in video games. We can help you out. We can come play games together, make friends. Have a good old time. Like I said before, I'm going to PAX next weekend. So I'm real excited to cover some stuff that I'm going to be seeing there. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Campo63 or twitch.tv/Campo63. John, the World Wide Web, it exists and you're on it. Where are you at?
I am sitting on it right now. You can find me on Twitter at RavikShadows. And my writing can be found on gamesandwich.com.
Well, we will be right back here next week with episode 257 of the Pixel Street Podcast.
Bye!